I used to hate getting up in the morning. I used to hate waking up from my sleepy time bobos. Or I used to hate brushing before going to bed. Sleepy time bobos. Why? Because I just hated brushing my teeth. That is no longer the problem with Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It is simply this, that if you have good habits, you are good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/busted right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/busted. Spelled GETQUIP.com/busted. Quip, the good habits company.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I get into the two biggest things from this week on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, and that's the two snakes, the Battle of the Snakes. Randy Orton, the Viper on Monday Night Raw, and Jake the Snake Roberts from AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. How those two segments with those two snakes really ruled what happened this week in pro wrestling. Also, we get into the big debate, and it's every week with Mark Henry, and that's Otis and Mandy Rose. My gosh, Mark just won't let it go. I try to snap him out of it on this episode of the Busted Open Podcast. Plus, we have two fantastic interviews. Evan Husney, the executive producer of Dark Side of the Ring, joins us as season two approaches at the end of this month on Vice TV. And Sammy Guevara of AEW Dynamite joins us right here on the Busted Open Podcast. This is what you're going to get this Sunday on the WWE Network when it comes to Elimination Chamber. Like I said, you have two Elimination Chamber matches, one for the Raw Women's Championship to see who's going to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 36. You have Natalya, Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler, Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan all going at it. And you would think after everything that you've seen over the last few weeks that it's going to be Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 36. And then the other Elimination Chamber match is for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. You got The Miz and John Morrison, who are your champions, The New Day, The Usos, Lucha House Party, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, and Heavy Machinery. I mean, that is, I think, where you're going to see a lot of crazy stuff, especially when you get the big guys with Heavy Machinery with Otis and Tucker, and you always know that Kofi Kingston is great in these types of matches.
They're not going to be able to fit in a pod together. There's no way that you're going to get
Tucky
in a little pod with our man Otis. It's not going to happen. They're going to have the first double pod.
The extra large pod?
Yeah, they're going to have the super large pod for those guys.
And you know what? I know this is always a big topic on Saturdays with you and Ryan. Let's see if Otis can get over his heartbreak enough to be able to compete in this Elimination Chamber match on Sunday.
You know what? That's a real sensitive issue with me still. It was one of the things in pro wrestling that I looked at as being my saving grace. And it went from being my saving grace to just pain and misery. And I guess, you know, nothing is meant to be forever, but You know what? I thought that, you know, I had that with Otis and Mandy, but I guess I was wrong.
You got to kind of blame Otis in this situation a little bit, too.
Why? How is that?
Because I know he got the text message that she was running a little late. You still got to get there early. You got to be there early. Can't let her get there first. And number two, why didn't he approach the table? Dolph Ziggler sitting there, you're just going to let that happen and walk away? You have to approach the table and have a little bit of a confrontation. I know it's a public place. I know it's a fancy restaurant. You still have to step up and say something. You can't just walk out, drop the roses, get the hell. Come on. Otis takes a little blame. I'm sorry, Mark, and I know you're going to go against me on this one, but Otis takes a little blame here.
But I've been there. I've been there. Like, you know, you get so disappointed, so frustrated, and you think better of the person. And this whole thing that we've talked about it, this whole Mandy deal from the beginning, is the fact that her ass never steps up and says, you know what, Otis, I really like you, and commits. And would give you a reason to say, you know what, I'm going to fight for her. Because she came to me and told me she cares about me. That's never happened. She's never stood up for him. Not once. Not from the time that he got his mom made the cake for her and Dolph stomped on it. She should have stepped to Dolph and said, hey, man, what the hell are you doing? That's not yours to destroy. That's mine. He gave it to me. Nothing. And, yeah, I'm a little sensitive about the shit. But I'm just saying I'm sensitive about it because I've been there before.
We've all
and
been
if
there
I,
before.
If I had went and destroyed this cat over this girl, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. The dude got to protect his career.
I'm not saying that you have a physical confrontation, but you have to say something.
Oh, yes,
and
you are.
And number, and the other
yes,
thing, too.
Yes, you are. That's what you're saying.
I think you're expecting a little too much from Mandy. You're expecting a little too much from Mandy. They didn't have a date yet. They didn't even have one date yet. So how is she supposed to say, I care about this guy, blah, blah, blah? They haven't even had a date. You're expecting, I'm sorry, but you're expecting a little too much. You know what?
Did you watch the Rumble?
Yes.
He put his body between her and the ground.
She didn't ask him to do that.
How many times do we see the women, they show the puddle, and the guy takes his coat off and throws it over the puddle so they can walk across so they don't get wet. And you open the door, and you take your coat off or your shirt and cover their head so they don't mess their hair up. It's always the guy that's got to bust his ass to go and make sure that this woman is feel honored and appreciated. Where the hell is the woman in this matter? Silence of the lambs. Exactly what I thought.
We're off track. We got a pay-per-view.
Not off track. Talking about love.
Can we get? You can't throw out the L word when they even have a date. You cannot throw out the L word before one date, Mark. You can't
what
do
makes,
that.
What
can't
makes people
it.
Fall in love, Dave? Going through things together. And they've gone through things, and she has not yet still reciprocated the affection that he's tried to show for her. It don't matter what you say, Dave. You cannot win a matter of love with sexual chocolate.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to say another word. What I'm going to do is now throw it to our very own Gabby and get her take on this. Can't believe we're actually doing this the first segment on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
We got big stuff to talk about, and we're talking about love.
I know, but love is bigger than anything. So, Gabby, what's your take on this whole situation, please?
So, the one thing I will agree with on
Mark, you're right.
No, don't. I didn't say that. The only thing I agree with is the whole situation at the restaurant. I do believe that she could have said, Dolph, like, don't sit down. It's a bad look. I'm going on a date. And when he shows up and he sees you sitting here, he already has problems with you. That's bad.
Okay. I agree with that.
That's where she was wrong. But... Okay, relax. I had to tell you twice to relax today. It's only 9 o'clock. But also, you saying, like, she's got to be the, like, why do the guys have to do all this? Because you know what? You should if you want a girl like Mandy Rose. Put in some work and deal with it.
A girl like Mandy Rose.
And deal with it. I'm sorry. He's already winning her over, okay? But they've never had a date. They've never had a full conversation. True. She can't just be like, oh my God, this is the love of my life. I'm going to marry Otis tomorrow. Let me drop my entire life for him. Because how does she know he's all that great? Just because we love him, we know he's great. She doesn't know yet.
Listen.
Oh, why? Because he got her a cake? That's very
cool.
Sweet.
He's very sweet.
Yes.
And he's a Shetland pony. I'm just saying. I don't know for a fact.
Listen, I love him, but if I were to go on a date with him, how do you know that our chemistry would be there? How do you know that their chemistry is there and that they belong together? They don't, because they haven't gone on a date yet.
Not one
day. But in your defense, I do agree, she's not doing much to make herself seem like
that's
she
all
cares.
I want. That's
well,
all
well
I
maybe
want.
She doesn't, maybe because she's not. Maybe she just doesn't like him in that way. He's like a friendly guy. He's, you know, she's nice.
I don't know.
To him. Maybe. I mean, come on. Who are you going to take, Otis or Dolph Ziggler?
I don't want either.
Otis.
I would take Otis over Dolph. That's actually true.
I'm not even. I don't even like guys like that, but I would take Otis.
877.
We have so much more in common.
I don't even like. Listen.
We both like food.
I don't even like girls like that. I would take Mandy over both of them. Because Mandy's very attractive.
I'll take
Mandy. Boy, this conversation went left.
I'll take Mandy anytime, every day. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. How about this? We have two really awesome guests coming up in the third hour of today's show. Evan Husney, who's been on this show before, executive producer of Dark Side of the Ring, is going to be joining us to talk about season two of Dark Side of the Ring. And I'm telling you right now, I saw the trailer for this season. Mark, unbelievable. Seriously, like the topics that they're going to be having.
I'm so excited.
How about this? They are going to have the topics for this. They're going to have Chris Benoit with Chris Jericho narrating the episode. Owen Hart, New Jack, Dr. D, David Schultz, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, The Road Warriors, Dino Bravo, Herb Abrams, The Brawl for All. I mean, this is going to be one hell of a season of Dark Side of the Ring.
It is. I mean, just to touch on three of those subjects, The Brawl for All, which I was around for, my brother Owen, who, everybody knows that story. And, the thing with Chris Benoit, like, those were the three that touched me the most when I saw the trailer for it. And I got a lot of questions. I'm going to have to make a couple of calls, and I need some background before it starts showing. I need to talk to my guy.
If you want to feel fresh, look good, and smell clean, you don't need a whole makeover or a lot of cold, hard cash. You just need grooming products from Bravo Sierra, the company that makes simple, all U.S.-made, non-toxic products everyone can afford. Bravo Sierra's line of body and hair wash, deodorant, shaving cream, sunscreen, body wipes, and moisturizer are field-tested by those who work it the hardest, active service members of the U.S. military. They have pioneered an unprecedented large-scale testing program with 1,000 active duty service members with a simple idea. If the products work for them, they will work for all of us. But it doesn't just stop there. Bravo Sierra also gives back 5% of their sales to programs that help the military and their families. Men's Health magazine calls it a game-changing grooming line. Try the Bravo Sierra starter set for free. It's three of their best-selling products, full size. You only pay $6.95 for shipping for a limited time only. Just go online to bravosierra.com/SiriusXM. That's bravosierra.com/SiriusXM for your free starter kit. Man, an amazing 3.5-4 minutes from a legend, Jake the Snake Roberts, on Wednesday, Mark.
Jake is one of the more powerful promo makers of all time. You could put him up there with The Rock, and you could put him up there with Dusty Rhodes. You could put Jake in there with anybody. And when it comes to battling wits and getting people emotionally involved, hardly anybody was better. When you throw Piper in there, I mean, it's a bunch of people that you can put in there. But they were all elite. They were all much better on the stick. Now, this sets up Cody to come back next week. And I'm excited about next week because I know what the response is going to be. And that's the thing about pro wrestling is you work to the crowd. And we talked about working to the crowd and the crowd being an important factor. But right now, the important thing is Jake and what he said. The important things is Cody's response to what Jake said. Those are the two more important things, more than the reaction of the crowd. And same thing with Randy Orton on Raw. Randy Orton, his promo was historical. It was historically good. But what will be the response? And it's not the reaction from the crowd. The reaction from the crowd is important, but the response from Edge, having his wife get RKO'd in the middle of the ring in front of everybody, and I don't think it's gonna wait until Mania. You hit my wife, you got to answer to me. So in pro wrestling, on Raw and on AEW, we have important promos that are leading to a response. And the response of the two people involved is going to be what we talk about next week.
It's amazing, and it's a great point by you, Mark, is that it's the response. Why is the response so important? Because it's going to make you tune into next week. You want to know what Edge's response is going to be to what just happened to Beth Phoenix on Monday. And you're going to want to tune into Dynamite next week to find out what Cody's response is going to be to Jake the Snake Roberts. That's what pro wrestling is supposed to do. It's supposed to be a bit of a cliffhanger.
Who is he the client of? Who is he the client? Don't you? It's multiple cliffhangers. I want to know. Who is he going to be representing next week? I'm tuning in. And that's pro wrestling, guys. Like, you lead to try to get people to tune in next week without saying, tune in next week. We'll be here same bat time, same bat channel. That's for all you old guys out there, that, you know.
Like me and you.
Yeah.
But no, that's what they're saying without saying it. Because now you have to tune in next week. And listen, great pro wrestling is going to make you want to tune in if you're seeing great pro wrestling. But it's that cliffhanger. It's that story. Like, Mark, you always say, it's the storytelling you that's going to make the storytelling that's going to make it a necessity watch for you the next week. Because now you want to know what the next chapter is going to be. Two different stories. And I like what you said. Like, it's like a battle of the snakes. You got the Viper Randy Orton and you got Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE Hall of Famer, now doing on the stage of AEW in front of a different younger crowd, but still getting his point across. And then you have Randy Orton on Monday, and that story is going to lead to what we're going to see in Tampa at WrestleMania 36. And when it comes to Randy Orton, Mark, you and I, since we've been on this show together, have talked about Randy Orton being, you know, as crazy as it sounds, underrated and underappreciated. When people talk about the best ever, when people talk about the best right now, they hardly ever bring up the name Randy Orton. And what Randy Orton is due and has always done, flawless in the ring. He makes it seem seamless. Now he's not even doing that with his in-ring work. He's doing it with his mic work. On the microphone, he's bringing reality. He's bringing truth. And it's really attracting people to want to see what's going to happen next. And I've said it, and I know you have said it and thought it too. We may be seeing the best work from Randy Orton right now.
You know what, Dave? Don't think for one second that the world of pro wrestling does not hang on our words. I'm going to read something to you right now. I get a text yesterday. Hey, man, I watched backstage, and I heard the kind words that you said about me. This sincerely means a lot, my man. And that was from Randy. Randy respects the fact that we honor him, that we hold him at a high regard, and justifying it, so he deserves it. He's arguably the best heel in pro wrestling today. Work-wise, promo-wise, career-wise, there's nobody else on the planet that's living up to Randy Orton's excellence. Randy listens to this show, and every time, it's not about him per se. It's about the fact that we say that he lifts up the business. He cares about the business of pro wrestling, just like you and I. You're the super fan. I was the super fan that became a wrestler, that actually got to come back and enter your world in the media and relay that message. And I feel like I'm the voice of the wrestler that gets to respond to the fans. And I'm letting all of y'all know that Randy Orton is relishing being the guy that he is today. And it's much appreciated as a fan of pro wrestling and as a former wrestler. I hold Randy at a high regard, and it's going to continue to be that way. I'm looking so forward to next week that I just can't even – I know I shouldn't be pushing past Friday. I shouldn't be pushing past SmackDown tonight. I shouldn't be pushing past the pay-per-view. But I'm so ready for Monday. And that's what the great elite pro wrestlers do to you. You know, they said Steve Austin is going to appear on Monday. Who, if you're not excited, then something's wrong with you. I'm super excited about Monday.
And here's the thing. We only have a few Monday Night Raws left before we get to WrestleMania 36 in Tampa. So there's only a few more chapters left in this story before we see the finale at WrestleMania 36. And you mentioned Randy Orton. And Bully and I were talking yesterday about Chris Jericho and how Chris Jericho on AEW, he can have that audience singing along to him and then take the microphone and within 10 seconds is going to have the same audience that was singing to him boo him. Randy Orton has that same gift. Everybody loves Randy Orton. Everybody loves the RKO. Everybody loves when Randy Orton takes that pose on the turnbuckle, the cameras come out, and the women swoon when he's doing that pose. And they love him. But now he's got you hating him. That's an art form, to be able to get people to love you so much and then a minute later get them to hate you as much as they hate Randy Orton right now.
As much as Jake said, a wise man once said, the women want to be with him and the men want to be him. Randy is transcendent. He's over, however you want to put it. He's that. The guy can go in, have a five-star match for 20 minutes or an hour. He can grab the microphone and entertain you as well as anybody that's ever done it and leave you thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? And that's what the great wrestler is able to do. They leave you in suspense and they leave you wanting more. And Randy does that in Grove.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
So happy to have executive producer of Dark Side of the Ring, Evan Husney, join us here as we get ready for season number two premiering on March 24th. And Evan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back.
No, I'm glad that you're back. And I know, and I'm speaking for Mark on this one too, we absolutely loved season number one. And we appreciate that. I mean, it was. I thought you did a phenomenal job.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate that.
Now, I look at season number two, and obviously it looks to me like it's going to be a little bit of a longer season than season one was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're coming back with 10 episodes or 10 hours of of different wrestling documentaries. So, yeah, it's a supersized season this time around.
After that first season, they got paid. man. It ain't nothing like going out and proving your worth and being able to get the spoils and the reward and the opportunity to do more. In your opinion, do you feel like that the success that y'all had with the first season was what made you able to be able to have this many more episodes?
I think so. Yeah. I think, the just success of the first season and, you know, all the wrestling fans tuning in and, you know, supporting the show and definitely got us the opportunity to do more. And I think that, it was great for us. We got to have access to bigger stories and, you know, we set a precedent. And so I think all around it was great for us going into the second season.
There's always good that comes from the spoils, but have you had any fallout? Have you had any family member call and go, "Hey, I don't appreciate this," or "I think you're misinformed," or anything of that nature?
Like after the episode dropped, you mean?
Yes, after you've released the first season.
No, I mean, I think the only time where I don't know if we ever were met eye to eye was, I think, when we did the Montreal Screwjob episode. I don't know if Brett was entirely happy with the episode, but, you know, that happens sometimes. But you know, I thought we tried to bring as much sympathy to his story as we could. And I thought that we did a good job and, you know, I don't know if he was entirely happy with it, but. That's the only time I can think of.
All right.
And I would think too, when it comes to subjects that are very touchy, I mean, you know, some of the subject matter was tough. I mean, you know, Gino Hernandez, and there's a lot of speculation if it was a drug overdose or if it was a murder, and you're speaking to the mother who all these years, for decades, believed that there was somebody behind it. And I would feel that your episode kind of gave her closure of all those things that were going on for years with her.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the goal. I mean, the goal was, you know, as we got deeper into the story and as we're uncovering new bits of information, I mean, because when we started out telling the story, she, you know, came to us and really expressed that she was in fear for her life. And for someone in my position, it's like, whoa, do I want to open these doors, you know, for her and have there be those consequences or potentially. And I think as we went down the road and we kind of uncovered new things, as I was saying, I think it helped her finally, process some closure, you know. And I think that was, for me, the most rewarding the most rewarding single moment out of season one was actually her and her closure with that story, you know, for me personally.
And I know for season one, Bully and I would be on the air after every episode, and we would treat it just like as if we were coming on the air after a Raw or a SmackDown or an AEW, like, because we would really in-depth talk about it. Mark, I know Mark joined in on a lot of those conversations too. We would really break down the episodes. Remember after the one on the Montreal Screwjob, we had Earl Hebner on, and like the fact that he was even a little intimidated by doing the interviews with you guys on the episode. It was crazy.
He thought we were a Canadian assassination group coming to take revenge on the hitman, you know, when we interviewed him. Because, you know, our production is based in Canada and we were coming down to his neck of the woods and he felt like there was some ulterior motives there when we showed up for the interview. But no, he was cool.
Is there an issue or a story that y'all have tried to pursue that you just couldn't get enough information on, or you had so much negative fallout that you just couldn't get it done?
You know, thankfully, I don't think that there's been, like, one particular episode with that. I think that there were episodes we started to look into for season one that maybe we just didn't have. Like we were moving so fast back when we did season one. And I think that there were a couple stories that we really wanted to tackle, but just we just didn't have the cred, or we didn't have the, like, access. So we kind of put it aside. And then, like, I think case in point with doing the Chris Benoit episodes going into season two, I think that was what made all that possible now for season two was the time we took to build those relationships to be able to tell that story.
And, you know, the wonderful episodes you had in season one, the Montreal Screwjob, the Von Erichs, Gino Hernandez, there were things that I obviously on a lot of wrestling fans' minds for years. The premiere episode that I was able to see at StarCast with Bruiser Brody, which was absolutely amazing. And then what you're amazing. Tackling here, right, Mark? It was extremely well done. So now you go into season two. And what you're right. tackling for season two, and Mark, I know for you, a lot of these names bring back a lot of memories as well. Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, you know, Dr. D. David Schultz, Jimmy Snuka. I mean, so many, like, that really to this day, when even you mention some of these names, it brings a tear to wrestlers' eyes and fans' eyes.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of big stories we're covering this season. Almost like if we're not going to get another one, you know. So
yeah.
We're trying to tackle as many of the big stories we want. And also we reached out to fans of the show last year and said, like, you know, like, what do you guys want to see? And I painstakingly tallied all of the responses, and this season more or less reflects our best efforts to get what people wanted to see the most.
And some controversial figures. I mean, Dr. D. David Schultz, Mark, we had Dr. D. on as a guest. And
you did?
We did. And it was the shortest interview.
You did?
Evan,
a live wire, man.
Evan, it was the quickest interview I've ever done here on Busted Open. I think it lasted about 3 minutes because he started, like, right after the introduction, he started throwing out accusations. And, you know, I'm not going to put somebody on the air where we don't know what he's saying is true and what's not.
Right.
So yeah. we had to actually cut him off. Like, it was literally 3 minutes into the interview. So I can't even imagine what this episode is going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a trip. It was like I basically got two separate phone calls from different people basically telling me, you know, Dr. D is now ready to tell his story, you know, like coming to me. So it actually came to us, was one of the stories that did, and I was just really intrigued by it. Obviously, I knew about the time he, you know, slapped John Stossel on 2020. And so then we just, you know, I finally got to David and started talking to him. And then I went out to, like, this remote area in Tennessee. I mean, he lives hours outside of any sort of town. And it was this amazing, almost like, you know, compound that he has there in Tennessee. And we spent a couple days there with him and his wife. And he's as cool as can be, you know, but he's definitely a character.
What? Man, I tell you what, you're being nice.
No, he was nice, actually, believe it or not. I mean, he gave us, like, his homeopathic recipes for, like, healing back pain, and, like, yeah, he was cool to us.
And we've had, in the 10 years that this show's been on the air, we've had him on twice. And the first time I had him on, we had him on for about 30 minutes, and he was absolutely fantastic. But I guess it was about, Mark, it was probably about a year ago when we had him on the last time. It did not go nearly as well. And then, all right, so there's one that I want to get into with you, because a lot of people might see the name and say, all right, that might not be an episode I'm interested in. I don't know the name. It's not familiar to me. But obviously, those who know the name know the story and the tragic end to the story, and that's Herb Abrams.
Yeah, the Herb Abrams and the UWF is a story that is basically about this not even a rise to fall story. It's basically just a fall story of this fledgling wrestling organization that was started by basically a fan. He was an entrepreneur, made a bunch of money, and wanted to start his own promotion. And he recruited a lot of stars, like a lot of former WWF stars. This is like late 80s, early 90s. And he went into, got a small cable deal and started to basically compete with Vince McMahon. But it just, you know, basically ended in complete disaster and debauchery, et cetera, et cetera. And also in one of the more spectacular deaths of anyone that I've ever read about. So it's just, it was a story that was also brought to us as one we should really consider. And we considered it for season one, but there, like, I don't know, for some reason I just didn't, it didn't grab me in the right way. And then season two, it was like, okay, we have to really look into this. And we did. And it, I think it's going to be like what the Gene, like in the way that the Gino Hernandez episode last season was kind of the deep cut for like wrestling, hardcore wrestling fans. I think this is going to be that for season two.
Wow. I'm so excited. I don't know if you've heard or not, but I'm like a super fan of the show. Like
it was thanks.
Like, man, really the best television that I've watched outside of pro wrestling.
Wow.
Like,
oh my.
I mean, I'm a Netflix fan kind of, so I watch a lot of the Marvel type of shows.
Yeah.
But as far as turning the TV on, I never turn my TV on unless there's a sporting event or pro wrestling is on. That is
wow.
It. And this show had me tuning in and sitting there with popcorn and my favorite beverage waiting on it to start.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, so, I mean, y'all did something not only to me, but I've talked to at least 10, 15 guys that are fans of pro wrestling that watched it just as religiously as I did. So you deserve all of the spoils and the accolades that you get.
Thank you.
It's a great, great show.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
That's so cool. And again, the show premieres March 24th on Vice TV. And again, the subjects of the show this season, Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, New Jack, Dr. D. David Schultz, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, The Road Warriors, Dino Bravo, Herb Abrams, and then, you know, definitely a black eye, the Brawl for All.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, literally. I mean, was there one episode that was your favorite filming for this season?
Ooh, man, I haven't thought about that. It's tough. I mean, man, there's been so many incredible moments over the course of this. I mean, we've basically made 10 hours of documentary footage in the last 9 months, so it's almost like a blur, you know, to me at this point. But I think, I think one of the best has been, you know, doing the Owen Hart episode, which has been the one that we've been working on most recently, because it's going to be the season finale this time around. And I think just, you know, because we worked closely with Martha Hart and, you know, Owen's family. And I think that whole experience to me, probably my favorite of the whole season, I would say.
And I know that's a tough subject matter to tackle for this
yeah.
show as well, and still a lot of raw emotions with the family
Definitely.
And friends that were involved with that. And then, I mean, do you talk about raw emotions? You know, your season premiere on March 24th on Vice TV is Chris Benoit, and you're able to get Chris Jericho to be mm-hmm. a part of that show as well.
Yeah, Chris is. We actually, you know, met doing that episode, doing the interview for that episode, and then he actually came on board as the narrator for the full season. So he's narrating all the other episodes of the of season two, which is amazing. But yeah, the process of the Chris Benoit episode coming together really started with Chavo Guerrero Jr. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without him. And I actually met him last year when we were doing season one. Well before the show even came out, and we just kind of developed this relationship over the course of a year, and it was really him that kind of you know, got us the access to a lot of the friends and family to be able to tell this story. And for us, like, the most important thing was to not do an expose on the story and to not sensationalize the story as it had been so often over the course of the last 13 years or whatever it's been. And we just really wanted to make it about the people that are still here and what they had been going through and processing this story. And so that was kind of the approach that we took with it. I think it's one of the more proud moments I think all of us here who work on the show have, because it really does feel like when you watch it, it really feels like, you know, you're in the inside. This is the inner circle of this story. And, you know, everyone came together to support each other to tell this story. So that it really has a very powerful feeling in that way, where I don't think anyone's probably, you know, experienced this story in that way. So it's kind of unique in that way.
Well, I think I have another one for you for the next season.
Wow.
And it's the good and the bad of OVW.
Oh, yeah?
The OVW... When I went there in 2000, it was an unbelievable thing for me to see, because I had seen the territory days, but I had never been to in a territory, an existing wrestling territory, where I stayed there, lived in the town, got to know the city, got to know everything about that place. Danny Davis, Jim Cornette, and Rip Rogers, they did unbelievable stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You look at all the people that came from there, you know, that the WWE guys that were sent there, some of the stories of stuff that happened while I was there, the deaths that were associated with, you know, the wrestlers. The good and the bad is, I mean, this was a little building. I mean, golly, when I say a little building, I mean, you had probably 40 guys crammed in a place that probably should have held only about 1,000 people or less.
Wow.
And they were doing a promotion out of that building, out of that little building, putting on these really, really good shows, studio shows. The only thing that's remotely close to it is if you watch Power, and you that's the look that it had, but it was smaller than that. And I mean, it was unbelievable, from the Batistas, Randy Orton's, Brock Lesnar's, and Shelton Benjamin's,
amazing,
myself, Big Show, Sean Stasiak, Sean O'Hare, who passed away, pretty sudden and abruptly. And I mean, it's a place that you could, there's so many stories. There's a guy named Cousin Crazy, who was legit crazy, who was checked out of a mental institution so he could come and wrestle and then go back.
That's great.
To the mental institution. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I watched this dude fish with an imaginary fishing pole for 2 hours. I mean, it's just like it was so much about that place that was good to me.
Wow.
That, you know, whenever I watch a show, I think about, wow, they should do OVW.
Wow.
And I think Al Snow is the main guy there now. Danny Davis, I think, is in Florida, retired. Jim Cornette is still in Louisville, and is Jim Cornette. And I know he's on the next season.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like there's a lot of meat on that bone.
If you could interview, who would you interview for that episode? If you had to.
Nick Densmore and Rob Conway were the and Rip Rogers. Like,
right.
They were the guys that were on the ground floor of.
Right.
Teaching all the guys that came there. And
yeah.
I think that for a while, Rob Conway was bitter because he was as good as anybody there, but he never got the shot. And, there's so much that you can go through. I mean, it was an unbelievable time.
I'm writing it down right now.
That's all. Well, and I'm sure after what took place season one, with the success of season number one, and now with season two, looking at these names that are going to be a part of the subject matter for season two, Evan. I mean, Superfly Snuka. I mean, I'll tell you this: we had Jimmy Superfly Snuka in studio,
oh,
and
wow.
we interviewed him Sam Roberts did as well here at Sirius at the time. Mm-hmm. And when he talked about some of the incidents, they were different than what was in the book. And that's why, like, that cold case was open for – because he was doing media interviews talking about the book, and the things that were in the book were different than the things that he said at the time that actually happened. So, like, it's just – it's amazing. It just – the world of pro wrestling, I'm sure you're seeing, is just mind-boggling at times.
It is. I mean, it's part of the reason why we could keep making seasons on this show, you know. So
it's good, but, and it's bad that you're able to still be able to do
but
seasons.
That's exactly what I was just saying. The good and the bad of OVW is it was so much good, and there was a lot more good than there was bad, but there was bad. And I remember, man, I'm telling you, like, there's about 10 stories that just popped in my head. Of things that happened there that if you interviewed the people, and it would be like, that didn't really happen. There's no way that happened. I mean, I mean that was the beauty in of OVW, but it was such a hard place that you had no you had to succeed. I mean, like, you come from the training that with Rip Rogers. There were 3-hour training sessions. I mean, I was on my knees standing over a garbage can to throw up because the training was that hard. And I mean, I was supposed to do an hour match, which I had never went over 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And imagine how my body felt at 40 minutes. 43 minutes is where I tapped out. I couldn't do it. And there were everybody there had to do a Broadway. You had to do a 1-hour program.
Wow.
And I mean, and so that learning curve was something that they don't do that no more because it'll run everybody off. Nobody will ever wrestle again if you had to go through the training that we went through. Like it was amazing.
Wow.
And I appreciate every minute of it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
So the premiere is March 24th on Vice TV. Again, Owen Hart, Chris Benoit is going to be the premiere episode on March 24th. New Jack, Dr. D. David Schultz, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, The Road Warriors, Dino Bravo, Herb Abrams, UWF, and The Brawl for All. And I know you're also having a premiere in Brooklyn in New York City to show that first episode.
Yeah, we haven't announced the date yet, but we will be doing that, I think, next week. Stay tuned for that. But we're going to be having a New York event for the Chris Benoit episodes in New York. So we'll definitely, if you follow us on social media at Dark Side of the Ring, we'll definitely update you on when that's going to be.
All right, so definitely follow them on social media. Again, on Vice TV, Season 2, the premiere, March 24th. And the guy behind it, Evan Husney, has joined us. And thank you so much for the time, Evan. We truly, truly appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you during this season.
Yeah,
thanks
that'd be awesome.
Your show, brother. I appreciate you very much. It's, like I said, one of the better things that happened in entertainment for me.
One of the brightest new talents in the UFC.
You don't know what you're dealing with. The next level, you know, I'm a bona fide star.
Takes on one of the most explosive fighters in the division.
Flying knee. He knocks him out. Wow. That's it. This fight's over.
The middleweight title is on the line when Israel Adesanya meets Yoel Romero at UFC 248. Join SiriusXM Fight Nation this Saturday for full coverage beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by post-fight reaction and analysis at 1 a.m. Eastern. SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. We bring the fight to you.
A first time ever here on Busted Open. The Spanish God! You can see him every single Wednesday on TNT with AEW Dynamite. It is the one and only Sammy Guevara. Sammy, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. How's everybody doing?
We're doing better knowing that you're on with us on a Falls Count Anywhere. I mean, the only day you could have Sammy Guevara on is on a Friday. I mean, the guy's meant for Fridays. He's meant for the weekend, Mark.
The pride of Texas, Sammy.
That's right. I'm representing this place.
Man, so how was it coming from Booker school?
Yeah, you know, I was only there for less than a year, but I've always said I was trained by Book. Yeah, I always give him the credit. And to come from there and to, you know, try to make something of it. I always say I want to be the most, I want to be the biggest one out of Texas. And there's a lot of big names that, you know, that come from Texas. So I'm trying my best to be number one.
Well, you are living up to the pride and the work ethic. I love seeing, you know, your work. I just had one question. Why the panda head?
Oh, my favorite animal.
All right. That's your spirit animal?
Yeah, it's my favorite animal. And at Double or Nothing, you know, I feel like not a lot of people were too familiar with me or Kip Saban. And so I knew we were going to have a good match because, you know, I'm great.
I love him.
But in wrestling, you need something a little bit more to stand out, you know, because I knew that everybody was going to have good matches on that night. So I was like, all right, let me go and get this $2,000 panda head. That's how much it costs, Mark. Believe it or not. And so I got that because I was like, I want people by the end of the night, they'll be talking about Dustin's match, they'll be talking about Kenny's match, but I want them to be like, hey, that panda guy, he had a great match too.
Yeah, and it worked. You were exactly right. And that's the kind of thing that makes people remember you like you did. You made a good move. That was a good move because the next day, that was the first thing that I said, did y'all see the guy that came out with the panda head? And I didn't know your name, but I know your name now. And I'm just happy that you came out of Texas, that you're doing good. What's next for you? Like, what are you trying to build to?
Well, I said it, you know, in the little road to the first Dynamite, my destiny is to be the world champion. So, eventually, one of these days, that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I think that's definitely should be your goal. And, you know, Mark said about, and you even said it, that maybe not everyone's going to know your name, but they know your name now. And when AEW premiered on TNT, they decided to go with you and Cody. Like, that was the company, I would say, having a lot of confidence in someone like you to be on an episode that would not only be historic, but extremely important for AEW.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I feel like there's like multiple personalities. Like there's one Sammy that's like, hell yeah, like this is what we work for. And then there's another Sammy like, shit, they put this much like faith in me. This is the first episode. Y'all going with me?
A lot of pressure.
But not exactly. Tons of pressure. But I was like, this is what we wanted, you know? It's go big, go home. All or nothing. The most eyes that's ever seen me in that first episode. So it's like, yo, if we're going to do bad, like, then it's just not meant to be. I feel like you got to do good when the most pressure's on. And let me tell you.
Well, they say pressure busts pipes, but you succeeded. I see a lot of guys out there and they look like they're trying. You're going out there and you're doing. I can tell that you're having fun, that you're liking what you're doing, that you're improving every week. That's the thing that a lot of guys don't do. They kind of stay stagnant and do the same thing. You're doing different stuff. And I like the fact that you're enjoying doing that. You can see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you guys said you guys know my name now, but I'm still working as if nobody knows who I am.
Wow.
So I still am like, all right, I'm going to make this whole building, you know, chant my name. Like this past Wednesday, they were chanting F you, Sammy. And I think they had to do some censorship on TNT. And I don't know if they had to do that for anybody else yet for the F you, Sammy chant or F you, whoever. But that's what I'm trying to do every Wednesday or every show. I'm just trying to, I'm doing stuff, pretending as if nobody knows who I am and trying to make a moment or something that'll make me stand out on that show.
And you've been standing out because I mean, there's been gifts now made of you. People thought you died in the ring, for crying out loud, from some of the stuff that has happened to you and some of the stuff that you've done. I mean, you really have taken chances, but I guess when you're hungry, like you are, you have to do things like that.
Yeah, I'm basically Kenny from South Park every Wednesday. Like, how is Sammy going to die this Wednesday?
Well, Sammy, I'm going to have to come hang out with you, man, because you got the smoothest chest in the business. Are you shaving? Are you waxing? Are you, what's going on? I'm trying to be smooth like you.
You know what? I'll let you in on the secrets whenever we hang out.
Breaking news.
There we go.
Oh, you're going to have to hang out with him. He's not going to say it on the air, Mark.
Yeah. No spoilers. And I got to get you in the vlog too. You know, I don't know if you guys noticed, I have a very popular vlog on YouTube, Sammy Guevara. And Mark, it'd be very cool to have you on.
Hell yeah, I'm down.
I guess I'll
get my invitation.
Of course,
I got to ask Dave and Gabby, is that okay now? You know, I've been told that I can't do.
I got you.
I can't do everything now because, you know, I'm under the microscope.
Nah, no worries.
No, you can do that. For Sammy, we'll let you do that. Mark, you can do whatever the hell you want. You're a freaking Hall of Famer. You think I'm going to stop you from going on Sammy Guevara's
vlog? I got the green light.
You don't even care. You could care less what I have to say.
I do care about what you say, Dave.
Oh, please. Give me a break.
So that's a yes.
I was going to say world's strongest man. Ain't nobody going to tell you no.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess Sammy Guevara will get, I'll get my invitation in the mail at some point. All right, so. All right.
Of course.
Yeah.
I need a cameraman.
Oh, you're funny.
Put you to work.
I guess you haven't seen all those La Greca heads in the audience every single Wednesday, huh?
I have seen these big heads, and I'm like, is this actual size, or is this what is made to scale?
I love Sammy Guevara.
I love it.
All right, so you're in the inner circle. You're a part of the inner circle. You're traveling with somebody like Chris Jericho, who Mark and I say, you know, at the end of the day, he's a top 10 guy. I mean, what's it like, you know, working and being around Chris Jericho?
Oh, I mean, I always say, like, I used to do Code Breakers and the Walls of Jericho on my trampoline back in the day, and now I'm in a freaking group with him. It's crazy. It just goes to show any kids out there, anybody who wants to do something, hey, you work hard enough, it can happen. But it's like, it's crazy just like picking up on small things from him. Like him and I were on commentary a couple weeks ago, and just picking up on how he's like, he starts just putting over Jon Moxley, and he's about to face him at the pay-per-view. And it's like these small little details. It's like, I'm just picking up as he's doing it. I'm kind of a hands-on learner, so you could tell me certain things, but then when I'm seeing it in action, certain things, I'm like, okay, I get it. Wow, all right, this all makes sense.
Well, that's the reason that they put you with Chris and around Chris is because they obviously see the future in you, and they want you to pick up on the subtleties. That's the reason that you get the rub, that they put you in a position. I was that guy in the Nation, and me and D'Lo, and we came out of the Nation being unbelievably better than we went in it. And the best of Sammy Guevara is not right now. The best is yet to come. I watch you work, and you get legitimate heat. You make the people in the ring look better than they are, and in the process, you're learning how to get over. Being able to watch Chris and be that close to Chris, that simple thing of putting Moxley over and saying, man, like, I don't know how I'm going to beat this guy because he's so great, but I am going to beat him. Like, that's the beauty. That's the stuff you learn when you're under the learning tree of Chris. What is the most focal point of learning that you've gotten from Chris so far?
Well, just to go back to that point, like, I remember I did his podcast, and he told me how, like, he doesn't like to go in and belittle his opponent, because then when he beats him, it doesn't mean nothing, because he just beat someone that he said is nothing. And then he likes to, like, build them up, so when he does beat him or whatever, it's like, yeah, I just beat somebody great. And then, so he told me that, I heard it, but then when I saw him, like, doing that in action, it's just like a little light bulb went off in my head. It was like, oh, shit, this is what he's talking about right here, and he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, you know, my first reaction, because I'm on commentary with him, was just be like, he ain't nothing. Fucking Chris, you're so great. Mox ain't nothing. Like, you know, something. But then just seeing him just, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. That was like a big light bulb moment right there. I don't know if that's the biggest one, because there's been just so many. I mean, he's Le Champion. Even if he doesn't have the belt, he's still Le Champion, greatest of all time. So there's many, many more, but that's one that definitely stands out.
You have you figured out how to wrestle with time yet? And you can, you know, you know that you got, you know, under 20 minutes, and you can feel it rather than people telling you. Have you got there yet?
Somewhat, you know, it's every week I'm trying to pick up on it more and more. Just trying to do too much and too little of a time is something I feel like I'm picking up or learning more. Because, you know, they'll be like, oh, you got 10 minutes, and all of a sudden we're trying to cram 15 minutes worth of stuff in 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, we can get away with doing, you know, 6 minutes worth of stuff, but making everything count and get us to 10. So that's something I've definitely learned and I'm doing.
Very good.
You know, Sammy, like, AEW's been hot, and people seem to forget that, you know, AEW Dynamite's only been around since October. It's only been about 5 months that AEW Dynamite's been in existence, yet it's a hot ticket. Bully and I talk all the time about the crowds. Mark and I talk about the inside of the ring action. You know, you just had the sellout with Revolution on Saturday. On March 25th, you're going to be at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. Like, that's like, that's like the home turf of the WWE. You already have sold over 11,000 tickets for that show. I mean, how does it feel to be a part of something from the ground up and for it to be as popular as it is so very young in the company's existence?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you said one of the hottest tickets, you know, super hot. I mean, they got the hottest in the whole damn wrestling industry, a part of the company, the Spanish guy, baby. So that makes sense why it's hot. But I knew it was going to be like this, like from when the rumors were going around that AEW was going to be a thing to the people that I heard that were going to be a part of it to the first press conference. I just remember thinking, like, this is going to be something huge and I need to find a way to be a part of it. Luckily, they contacted me like a day later from the first press conference. But I heard there were certain people that were like, I don't know if this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a one and done. I'm like, how can y'all not see the writing on the wall? And I feel like I'm very observant. And I kind of saw the writing on the wall. Like, this is going to be something huge. So I'm very, you know, fortunate to be a part of, like, history, basically.
And you got to be happy. I know, you know, maybe the turnout wasn't what you expected to be. But, I mean, that match you had Saturday on the pay-per-view, AEW Revolution, I mean, that was one hell of a match, Sammy. Kudos, my friend.
Well, thank you. I don't know if happy is the right word, because I'm never happy with anything I do, but a lot of people like it, so that's always a plus. But, you know, I'm always working, because a lot of people are talking about that tag match, because that tag match is really awesome. So, you know, that next time I'm on a show with the Bucks, Kenny and Hangman, I got to outdo them, man. I feel like they got match of the night. Maybe me and Darby were second, but it's okay. Next time I'll get him.
I like that, Mark, that, you know, he wants to outdo everybody. He's not just looking for the opportunity, but he wants to kill it. He wants to steal the show. That's the right attitude to have.
That's the mentality to have. And you never want to go into a pay-per-view or a TV show respecting everybody else so much that you sacrifice yourself. Never throw yourself on the sword. Go out there and try to steal it.
It's a selfish business, you know, and I know everybody's going to be trying to do everything out there. Of course, I'm not going to go and just steal everybody's spots or whatever, because I don't need to. I'm going to be creative and come up with my own stuff. But it's like, I know you guys want to be remembered. You guys are already huge names, the EVPs of the company, all that. I'm like, I don't care. I want some kid from Houston, Texas to be the one dude everyone's talking about.
Hell yeah.
Like, for instance, like the cage match that Cody had. Now, everybody was talking about that one. Amazing match, fucking huge moonsault. did you guys see it? Like the, it was like 15 feet in the air.
You saw it?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. You see it, Mark?
I did. I didn't miss it.
How are we going to talk about? How are we going to talk about something the next day if we didn't see it, Sammy?
Yeah, we got to watch all
Shows
of it.
Shows on 5 days a week. Can't miss a show.
14 hours of wrestling a week.
I don't know. Maybe you guys are phoning it in.
This isn't the Sammy Guevara vlog. We do it when we feel like it. We got to come on the air noon, 9 to noon every day.
No, we're not mailing it in. We're not mailing it in.
Okay. Well,
you don't get to be the number one show in the country.
Number one.
By mailing it in.
Number one, Sammy. Sammy.
Well, you're number one right now, definitely, because I'm on. But what I'm saying is everyone was talking about that big moonsault, but what else was everyone talking about? Me taking a super kick from Matt Jackson and nearly dying. I actually rolled my ankle.
Oh, my God, he killed Kenny.
Exactly. That's all I did, basically, that one thing. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do one thing that's going to make everybody remember Sammy Guevara.
Well, we definitely will remember. You've been absolutely phenomenal, Sammy. Seriously, we love your work. We talk about it all the time here on Busted Open. You could see Sammy Guevara every single Wednesday night on TNT, AEW Dynamite. And I'll be there in New Jersey on March 25th with over 11,000 people booing you and saying, F you, Sammy. I'll be one of those guys, and it'll get beeped out, but we'll do it anyway. But Sammy, seriously, thank you so much for the time. Good luck to you, and thanks for being on Busted Open. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, the pleasure was always y'all's. No problem.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.